Okay, so if those who look at this Marimakom notice this is a little bit unusual Marimakom. It's a Zohar. And happened I was just looking at the Parsha for Shmuz and saw the Zohar and it sounded so interesting. First of all, because it discusses Yibum. Second of all, because it discusses Kriya Shma Amita. I don't think anyone knows what we're doing. We say Kriya Shma Amita. And maybe, b'diavad, we can even say a shmooze on it. So, figure as long as we could squeeze a shmooze out of it, so it's kedai to read it, you know, just have a little yediyas hatayra also. So hopefully we can get all three. Yibum, Kriya Shma, and a shmooze. Okay. Starts that there's a pasuk in Rus. That when Ruth had a child, so the neighbor said, Yulad ben Nunami. So the Zohar explains what that means. Now apparently, shot in the Zohar is, the question on the pasuk is, what do you mean Yulad ben Nunami? Nunami didn't have a child. There's no shaykes to Nunami. The child was between Ruth and Boaz. So how does Nami get the child? Teretz is because Ruth was some form of Yibum. Wasn't necessarily the Michi of Yibum, but it was in the Parsha of Yibum, the Yashvus of Yibum, that when Boaz was marrying Ruth, it was a form of Yibum for Ruth's first husband, Machaneh Kilion, who had no children. And therefore, even though it wasn't a brother, but it was apparently the shame Yibum, with the same kavanah of Yibum. So therefore, it was a Yibum. And when it's a Yibum, so the pshat is Yibum works through the system of the Hakim Shame, the Achiv. So it's considered as if the dead brother had a child. So in this case, it will be considered as if Machlan the Kilion had a child. So since it's considered as if Machlan the Kilion had a child, so it's Yudah ben Nami. That's Pashup Shat in the, I don't know, Pashup on the Pasuk, but that's how the Zohar is earned the Pasuk, and that's probably is one of the Pashup Shat. The problem is that the Zohar here, when I say problem, then he says, what's Shat in this Pasuk? And he starts quoting, if you read the way he's speaking about, Imchovel Dachvel Samas Reyecha, that when a person goes to sleep, Hashem takes his neshama. It has nothing to do with anything. Right? It doesn't seem to have any connection. So this, he says, Rabbanan Pasrin Koy Bachir. Rabbanan explained this pasuk with this, and there's no connection. So what it seems, the way they explain it, is that this rest of this Zohar, if you read it, talks about that when a person goes to sleep, or when a person dies, Hashem takes back the neshama. Hashem gives you a neshama when you're created, and a person is, you know, when a person, every night, the neshama goes back to Hashem, and there's a certain point where Hashem demands back the neshama that he gave you. It's a pikadon, so the neshama is given back to Hashem. So what the Zohar here is saying is that Pshat and Yibum is not stam. Another explain it. How is Yibum the Hakim Shem the Achid? So the way we usually understand it is just a, you know, logical thing that there, since you're taking over the dead husband's wife, you're marrying her because of his ishus. So it comes out that the dead husband was goyreim this marriage. Therefore, he was goyreim it. So the child is like he brought it about. Because since you're taking, the only reason why you're marrying this woman is because she was married to your dead husband, and you're taking his marriage to help you. So it's the dead husband is the goyreim. But that doesn't fit into this Zohar. So what the Zohar seems to be learning, and they actually say this, is that the Arizal say that the way Yibum works, it works through the system of Gilgal. That Hashem takes the dead husband's neshama and puts it in the new child. So that's what this Medrash is saying, that this is what it's saying here, that we see here from the rest of the Medrash Zohar that when a person dies, Hashem takes the neshama. Not that the neshama gets destroyed, it just disintegrates. It goes back to Shemayim. So Memeira, when you do Yibum, so the neshama is given again. So now it comes out, since Boaz was doing Yibum, so whose neshama was being given back? This was the neshama of Machan or Kilyan. You know which one? Memeira is Yudah Ben and Nami, because it's Machan or Kilyan are being reborn. Machan and Kilyan are Nami's children, right? So it's not simply Hokim Shem La'ochiv because the dead brother was Geiremit, because the dead brother, you're marrying her because of your dead brother. But it's much more. Yibum is a Hokim Shem La'ochiv because the actual neshama of the dead brother is what goes into the child that's born. So that's Sam Shana Nezayar. So it's saying that it says in the Pasuk, Yudah ben Na'ami. How in the world is it Yudah ben Na'ami? Na'ami, this is not a child from Na'ami. It's a child from Rus. Teres is Rabban and Pastor in the Croix. Rabban explained this Pasuk, Baha'i Diksiv, and this whole Medrash discusses about how Hashem takes in the Shema as a Bikadah, and therefore he also gives it back. He takes it and he gives it back. He takes it every night and gives it back. So he takes it from the dead brother and he gives it back to the child that's born because of him. That seems to be Pshat. Okay, so it's just an interesting Kabbalah, Pshat and Yibum. We're in Yevamos. Okay. So it says, it means this Pasuk that we have in Shmos. Shmos we have in Mishpatim. Chaval takvo samlas reyecha ad bo Hashem et shivenelo. So the simple translation in the Pasuk, chaval takvo, usually the word literally means, chavoa means you damage. Chavoa, you cause a damage. The word means. But in the Pasuk, it sounds like it means you're taking a mashkin. I don't know why it's a borrowed term. I mean, when someone owes you money, so you damage his property, so to speak, by taking it. I don't know why it's called mashkin, but that's how Rashi says that it means you're taking a mashkin. So if you take a mashkin, samas reyecha, then you have to return it in the morning. When you take your friend's beged for a mashkin, you have to return it when he needs it. Okay, that's Pashup Shad the Pasuk. But the Zohar is learning it that samas reyecha, as it says later, reyecha means HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like that we have in other places, it says, V'ahavta re'acha kamoicha, and they say re'acha is a remez to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says later that re'acha is Hashem. Re'acha v're'ach avicha. So that's what it says later. So samas re'acha means the clothes of Hashem, which means this is a neshama. If you damage the neshama, you put averis into neshama, so then abo Hashem has tishivanelo. Hashem returns it to you in the morning. Right? That seems to be the simple pshat in the Zohar, that when we do we damage our neshama. And really, Shem shouldn't give it back to us when we go to sleep. But we wake up in the morning, and Okai Neshamash Nesatim B'Dari, Hashem gives it back to us. Okay, this is going to explain it. Hai Nikra, this Pasuk, B'Neshamash Yohadam Medaber, is talking about the Neshama, B'Zeh Oilam. Is it while you're still alive? Milameh, because every night when you go to sleep, your neshama goes out. And Hashem takes it as a mashkin. And then in the morning, so Hashem, it's a mashkin. When he returns in the morning, Therefore, Sarach Adam Mahafke Nishmasa Yaitra. Therefore, since the Hashem takes your neshama every day as a mashkin for what you owe him, so it's an eitzah tova, it's the right thing to go ahead and a hafke nishmaso. You go ahead and to ubekorei chab suka derachmi and to read a pasuk kigon biyotcha afke ruchi. This is a pasuk that's in Kriyas Shema Aramita. But these also Hashem mekel emes. So what does that mean? That when we go to sleep, we give it to Hashem as a pikadin. So it's saying like this. We go ahead and we do our veiras. Hashem gives us, when we're born, this neshama tahira. We go ahead and we do our veiras. We do our veiras, we mess up the neshama. Now, we go to sleep, and the neshama goes up to Shemayim. And Hashem said, this is the neshama that I gave you. I gave you this nice, clean, good neshama. And now I see, you know, this dirty, messed up neshama. So the reaction should be, you're not going to give it back to you. You don't deserve it back. Look what you did. I gave you this gorgeous neshama, and you messed it up. Also, it says in one Meforshim, that Elida, the Sultan's Mekatrek, whatever. So the Yash, this is a very big possibility that a person wouldn't get there. You're not going to give it back. I'm not going to give it back to you. It's bad enough he gave you the first time a nice clean neshama, and you went ahead and you dirtied it. Now Hashem gets it back. He's going to give it back to you again. What, they mess it up again? Especially he's going to do a neshama shabbi tahiri. He's going to clean it for you and give it to you again clean, and then you're going to mess it up again and keep on giving it to you clean. Now that's ridiculous. Oh, so therefore the yashrus should be that Hashem should keep it. Except, so there's a trick. What's the trick? Before we go to sleep, we're mafkid our neshama beyitro. We give our neshama to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a pikadon. We don't just let the neshama go by itself. We say, Hashem, I'm giving this to you. Please watch over this for me. And I say, biyotcha afked ruchi. Right? So in a sense, now Hashem feels obligated to return it. Right? That's what he's saying. Very, very strange. He's saying like this. If he wouldn't say, biyotcha afked ruchi, so the neshama would automatically go by itself to Shamayim. When a person goes to sleep, his neshama leaves him. Hashem would take it. Hashem would go ahead and say, what? Look at this neshama. Hey, what did you do? Ruined my neshamas. And he would take it. But you went ahead, before you went to sleep, and you, without asking Hashem, you said, Hashem, I'm giving you this to Bikadin. Please watch this for me. Oh, so now, almost like Hashem's stuck. How can he take the neshama you gave it to him as a pikadon? That's not honest. You know, if Hashem would have agreed, so to speak, someone gives you a pikadon. So a pikadon means you have to give it back. So Hashem, you gave Hashem a pikadon. So the agreement was, except there was only a one-way agreement. So that's why it's very strange. But your intention was, you're giving it Hashem with a pikadon. Please wash it for me and return it. So even though Hashem would normally not return it, but since you gave it to Hashem as a pikadon, and as a pikadon you got to return it, therefore Hashem is obligated to return it. And that's what we say in the Moedah Ani, that we say, Moedah Ani, she'chizarta bi nishmosi, b'chem l'rabah, emunasacha. Emunasacha means Hashem is honest. Hashem is, he's doing the emunah. Since we gave it to him as a pikadin, Shem, we gave the neshama to Hashem as a pikadin. And pikadin means was given on the understanding that we're going to get it back. So really, Hashem shouldn't give it back. But then Hashem's not keeping the agreement. So so therefore it's amuna secha that Hashem is amuna and he gives it back. That's what he's saying. Read it again inside. Since the neshama goes up to Shamayim, and there's a very grave danger that Hashem's going to keep it because it's filthy, whatever, taveris, Hashem deserves, really should keep it. Therefore, what you have to do is you have to be masked it. You have to make it a pikadin. How do you make it a pikadin by Hashem? By saying the pasuk, or one of the psukim, there's a few very different psukim, but you say, biyotcha afkid ruchi, you say, Hashem, I'm giving biyotcha in your hands, afkid. Afkid means I'm making it a pikadin. I'm taking my neshama, my ruchi, and I'm giving it to you as a pikadin. And now, so now that Hashem got it as a pikadin, even though really you owe that neshama to Hashem, and Hashem shouldn't give it back to you, He should keep it. But Hashem will return it because it was a bikadin. So return it. Okay, we'll continue reading. That we see that there's a mitzvah of being like Hashem. Since Hashem is so honest, so we have the mitzvah of halachas v'drachos. We also have to be honest like Hashem. Shreinishmaso bikadam biyadam. Neshama was a bikadam from him. Biyadam shimitav kitei kavod. V'hu notzar mitibas rucho. V'hu bikadam nishmaso biyadam. Okay. Not sure what this means here at the end, so I think this is a continuation with the next line. I think it means like this: Sherei Nishmaso Bikadon Biyadal means that she's in the neshama is really a bikadon in the biyad of the person. Now he's switching. He's saying Hashem is honest because we gave Hashem the neshama as a bikadon. Therefore, Hashem feels obligated to give it back to us, even though we don't deserve to get it back. So vice versa, or the same thing, we should have the same hargasha, because in reality, before we gave the neshama to us, bikadon to Hashem, really Hashem gave the neshama to us as a bikadon. Trei nishmaso bikadon biyadam. Your neshama is a bikadon because it was really created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shimi tachas kisei kavod. The neshama was created from tachas kifei kavod. Who knows the tipas rucha? It's really a tipas rucha. Tipas rucha can't make a neshama. Neshama is its most heilige, kaddishika thing. See, the Sharm says it's greater than the malachim. So it's something Hashem creates from the tipas rucha. Okay, but it's really HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. For it becomes the neshama sabiyado. So now it comes out that Hashem made this amazing neshama, and He gave it to you as a bikadon. So, therefore, so the pasuk saying, you have samas reyecha. Who samas reyecha? You have HaKadosh Baruch Hu's because of the neshama of Hashem. And in chavata masecha, if you do aveiris, v'nichlachta nishmoscha, and then you messed up your neshama, which is your neshama, shimu or devushash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's samas reyecha. Because reyecha means Hashem, shuracha v'reyecha. Hashem is your best friend. Your closest friend is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So samas reyecha means the neshama, which really belongs to Hashem. And you went ahead and messed it up. Ad bo Hashemesh. Kishagiyas mana, when you're too, when, bo, here bo Hashemesh means a different shot. It means when in your deathbed, be part of the Yodam to Shivan at all. So make sure you cleanse it before you give it back. Because you're going to have to give it back when you die. Make sure you give it right. Okay. So it's two different shatim in the pasuk. One pasuk is that when you give Hashem, it seems to be two shatim in the Zohar and the pasuk. That's why I believe it's pshat. The first shot is that we are giving our neshama to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a bikadon at night. And even though Hashem really should keep it, Hashem gives it back to us. Adbo Hashem et Shiven Elo means every morning in the morning, Hashem gives it back to us. That was shot number one. And shot number two is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the neshamas of Bikadim. So the Bikadim, the neshamas is owned by Hashem. And we are the ones that are holding the Bikadim. And we have to give it back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adbo Hashem is here, meaning before we die. Right, so Adbo Hashem is, depending on the pshat, it changes. First pshat means Hashem is giving back, we are giving the Bikadim to Hashem, and Hashem is returning it to us every morning. That's the first pshat. And the second pshat is that Hashem gives us the Bikadim, and we have to return it to Hashem before we die. And he's saying that we have to be like Midos of Shah Hashem, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he feels obligated to be honest, to give back the Pikadon that he received, we should also feel obligated to give back the Pikadon that we received. And therefore, when we eventually give back the Pikadon, we should make sure to give it back the way we got it, without aveir. Okay, I think that's shot. There's actually a parish here on the bottom, but it didn't fit on the sheet. But I think that's how he learns it. I'm not sure. Okay, anyway, so there's, besides a Chiddush Pshat in Yibum, and besides a Chiddush Pshat in Kriyishma, guys should know Pshat in Kriyishma. Pshat in Kriyishma is that B'yodo Afkid Ruchi. It's very important to say that Pasuk, or to say the Psukim. It says, he quotes a Gemara, that you have to say at least one Pasuk, right? The Korech Hab Sukkah Derachma. You have to say at least one pasuk, because you have to see Biyotka Afkir Ruchi. In other words, you have to have that in mind that you're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bikadon. You have to have it in mind, or at least say it. Because if you know, there's people who don't say Kriyashma. Rashi brings this also by Bilam. He mentions this, that we're mafkid the our neshama by Hashem, and that's what protects us at night. Same in the Kitzer. So it's not just a Zayar, it's a Rashi and Chumash. But okay, not just a Zayar. Zayar is pretty amazing too. But that's Pshat in Kriyishma, and that is what they say in Pshat in the Moedah Ani. For the record, that the Amuna, when we say that Hashem's Amuna, is that he's honest to give it back. Okay. What's a Shmuz? We have to have a Shmuz too. So the Shmuz is Chaira. It sounds, this emuna of HaKadosh Baruch Hu sounds bizarre. We do aveiros. Now our neshama automatically goes to Shemayim because we're going to sleep. The natural reaction should be that Hashem should keep the neshama. You messed up my neshama. I gave you this beautiful neshama to come back all damaged. I'm not going to give it back to you again, right? I should keep it. You owe it to me. Chayvus. Except Hashem gives it back because we gave it to Hashem as a Bikadim. Now, if Hashem agreed to the Bikadim, and that's his Amunah, he's honest. But I understand, if Hashem agreed to the Bikadim, that I understand. Listen, Hashem's a deal. You gave your word. You said you're taking it to the Bikadim. But we didn't ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu if we'll take it to the Bikadim. We come up and we said, Biyadka Afkid Ruchi. Thanks a lot. Because Baruch Hu says, your neshama is going up to Shemayim, whether you give it to me as a Bikadon or not. And once I get in Shemayim, the Yashvus is I shouldn't give it back to you. So because you went ahead and you decided that you're giving it to me as a Bikadon, and because you're decided that this is my job, so I have to give it back to you, and that's emuna. That's called honesty. It sounds like so far-fetched, and comes along the Zohar and says that this is a din in leches bedrachis. The Indian says sort of naivim midasa shargash baruchu leches bedrachis, which means I give a mashal. I'm not at a hanhoa meeting, right? They have a meeting without me, and of course they decide dividing up the jobs. And they get to the worst job, and I'm not there. Say, okay, Rabbi Newman will do this job, right? Because he's not there. So he's not there to say no. So today they go say, okay, you got this job. Well, we gave it to you. So now you got to do it. Why? Because I'm Muna. That was given to you. You know, you got to be honest. We gave you this job, right? You know, I would tell them, you know, go jump in the lake, you know. I'm not doing that job. I never agreed to that job. You know, way. But that seems to be from the Zohar that once it's given to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with this das, so that almost obligates HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a muna. You gave it to me on this das. So you went ahead and on this das said that this is my job. You gave it to me. So now I have to do it. It obligates me. So that's it's definitely a chiddush in Hilchus responsibility of trustworthiness, of being trustworthy even when you never said anything. That itself is a chiddush. It's a chiddush, it's hard to understand, so it's a chiddush. What I want to say, a different chiddush, which I think maybe is a little bit more easier to understand, is that the Zohar's second application, assuming I read it right, this I think I'll be beer on the bottom was explaining it, that it's saying they have to be misnayim mitayis of Shoah Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we should make sure that he gave us a neshama as a mikadim, so make sure that you return it to him, you know, clean, like he gave it to you. He gave it to you a mikadim. You gotta be fulfill the amun of Hashem. So it's a shtickle. I think it's a little chiddush. You know, I asked a person, why shouldn't you do an Aveira? So you shouldn't do an Aveira because you don't want to get punished. You shouldn't do an Aveira because you want to get schar. You shouldn't do an Aveira if you're in a higher Madrega because you have Avis Hashem, Yiras Hashem. But here it comes along the Zohar and saying, you know why you shouldn't do an Aveira? Because if I do an Aveira, then I'm being lack of emunah. Hashem gave me a neshama. He gave me a neshama tahira. And I'm going to give it back to him, not to her. It's a lack of mahu avata. So that's why I shouldn't do an aveira. It just seems like such a, I don't want to say strange, but such a trivial motivation compared to all the other motivations. We have so many motivations not to do aveiras, because you don't want to get punished. You want to get reward. You want to make us nachas ruach lebayre, whatever it is. You don't want to cause tzar lebayre. You know, to say you know, it's a chisaron to do an aveira is a chisaron of emunah. And that's what the Zohar is saying. We learn from here a reason not to do aveiras because that will be a lack of emunah. So like, what in the world do you need that for? There's already 50 other reasons why you shouldn't do an Aveira. And the other reasons are much, much seemingly stronger. So what I'm assuming, and it's not very, say that a straw, you know, a straw can break the camel's back. You know, we never like that. What I think, Shad, is that this is obviously a much stronger motivation than we realize. Is because something the Shiva used to always say is that a person has an inherent nida of emes. Emes is part of your neshama, is part of your being. Deep down in our essence, we are emunasecha. We have a nida of the chayitzma shakash baruch hu is emes, and we're created b'tzalm elokim. So our neshama has an intrinsic strong drive for emes. So if we understand this Zohar, that if we do Averis, it's a begamin emes. So that's not a daki-dakis motivation. That's a very strong motivation. Because our neshama doesn't want to be lack of emes. Well, I'm going to be dishonest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to return to him damaged goods when he gave me a beautiful neshama. That's dishonest. And the neshama, maybe we don't feel it on a conscious level, but on a deep level, feels very strong. So that even though, you know, as we think that our strongest motivation not to do aveiras is schar, einesh, making Hashem happy, making Hashem not happy, whatever. No, he's saying, the Zohar is saying that one of the, perhaps one of the most strongest motivations should stem from a midah of emes. So what I would say is a shmooze, which I think is a shmooze and there is an application, is that we have to realize that the midah of emes, of honesty, of being trustworthiness, is a deeply rooted midah in our being. And when we hear that something is dishonest, that is a very, very strong motivation. It can be one of the most strongest motivations. A person is principled. That's our intrinsic neshama is believed in having principles. And when we realize that we're doing something that's against yashrus and principles, then our whole neshama is tremendously motivated. So that could be, that can rival the motivation of schar v'onesh, can rival other motivation, because this is a deep, deep drive. It's an intrinsic drive of a human being. So the chiddush is to realize, to be aware of the fact that on a deep level, we have this drive of the Tzom and Okim, of a drive for emes. And she would always end up by saying, and therefore, a person who's a Rasha, he can never be happy, because he's going, forgetting about everything else, he's going against his intrinsic drives. He's going, his intrinsic Tzom Elokim is not happy, because he knows he's being dishonest. He knows he's being in principled. He's not being makir toyev HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So his intrinsic feelings is unhappy, because the basic mahus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a person has a neshama, and it's mahu afata. So if you tell us that this is lack of emuna, then the person's neshama senses that, and it bothers him tremendously if he doesn't do it. Okay.
Why isn't it just a chiyuv of a lot of the drop off the
treasure? An end of chiyuv. But I just think, why do you need that for?
What do you mean that for?
It's saying there.